This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's talk with Ann Malik. She is chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors and joins us live on the program. Ann, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, and thank you so much.
Absolutely. So let me start with, if we can, with some news that we had at the top of the hour in the coming out of the 24-hour WINA News Center regarding the expansion of the Hollymead growth area. A lot of folks in Forest Lakes are very upset by this. I've gotten lots of emails. Folks feel, they're using the word betrayed by their representative, Ken Boyd, who originally voted to stand with them and said explicitly in a meeting, I'm here to represent my constituents, but has since changed his mind and is now giving indications that he will support the expansion of the growth area in the hopes that, as he told me on the program, in the hopes that it will allow for a parallel road to come up into that area up where the new Kohl's is being built. What are your thoughts on this? Because I know when you originally stood up and said, I want to be a candidate for local government, most of your announcement speech was about slowing the growth of just this type of thing in the county.
And making sure that we balance the infrastructure that's provided by the application with the growth that's going to happen. And it is really ironic and sad that we are in the same place that we were in 4 years ago with a board who really wants to leave the citizens holding the larger part of any investment. So thank you for bringing that up. I do hope that we will hear something different from Mr. Boyd tomorrow and that he will basically return to the discussion vote and vote in November, because that was a very appropriate decision, that we do not need the expansion of this land right now, and need is something that's very important in our comprehensive plan when we talk about making a change.
Yeah. Of course, we've got a lot of empty commercial property.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I just got an email or a phone call message this afternoon, actually, from someone in southern Albemarle in Coesville who said, what about us? Why does everything have to be north of the town? We're driving 30 minutes to the grocery store. Why not replace, if we're going to replace something from Biscuit Run, at least put it on the southern part of the town where we can have a chance to get at it?
Well, maybe Wendell Wood should buy some land down there.
Well, it is interesting that we have made decisions over many years based upon personalities, and we can't do that. We have to really base it on objective criteria and making sure that we're meeting the responsibilities for our citizens.
Yeah.
Our environment as well.
We're talking with Ann Malik, a member of the chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, running for re-election. And just to underscore a point you made earlier, and I'd like you to flesh this out, when you talked about leaving people holding the bag about investment, I've talked many times on this program of the actions of whether it's the federal government or Richmond or local government, oftentimes can require just the average taxpayer, in a sense, to subsidize development, and they have to be the ones to pay for the infrastructure to allow a developer, for example, to go out and make a lot of money building a new neighborhood. But we make that possible. We have to subsidize the investment to socialize the risk, in other words, and privatize the gain.
Isn't that the truth? And that's really the basis of the proffers. Back in the 70s, there was an economic analysis when Leo and I were living in New England right after school, and they were talking about the cost to the taxpayers in 1975 in Amherst, Massachusetts, of being $600 per unit per year, 30 years ago. Now, we, in our proffer, the fiscal impacts committee came up with was about $17,500 over 20 years, which is less than $1,000 per unit per year for a single-family house. So I'm quite convinced that the cost has gone up in 30 years. But at the very least, those proffers are to offset the expenses that the citizens would have to meet the demands that are brought onto us by a lot of retail development. And there are different kinds of commercial investments. There are uses which provide employment. We make something, we develop something, our R&D, all those offices, those are different than retail. They have a smaller number of employees, they're working, they're producing things, and That's different than having store upon store upon store where the whole possibility of its success depends upon thousands of drivers coming there. And that's a big impact on the whole community.
Yeah.
The difference really in my mind between the opportunity to collect an appropriate proffer for the improvement of Ashwood Boulevard, the math just doesn't work. If the improvement to the intersection is going to cost $11-12 million, and we might get $1.5 million or $2 million if this new process was approved, there's still $8 or $9 million in a big hole.
Yeah.
Where's that going to come from? And if the store comes in first, how many years is it going to take us to save up or whatever, the opportunity to really do the work?
Yeah.
So that's the message that was loud and clear back in 07, was knock it off with bringing all the growth in first and then 15 years later bringing us our roadway.
We're talking with Ann Malik, chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. And I guess the question the folks in Forest Lakes will have is, you know, will Ken Boyd stand with developer Wendell Wood, who wants this, or will he stand with all the folks who live in Forest Lakes?
Well, I applaud his having the town hall. I've had them ever since I got here in 08. I found them tremendously beneficial. I try to have them when issues are bubbling to try to get on the early side and find out really what people are concerned about before it gets to the very end point. And it always helps when developers do that as well, to meet with neighbors and find out what the problems are and try to solve them before they even enter the process. So I'm glad that he had the meeting last week, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah. And let's turn our attention to water now, and the transition that we can use is this whole idea of public subsidies to invest in infrastructure. Many folks, and I must admit I am one of them, I have seen the county's proposal regarding the county's plan that they want the big water supply, the new reservoir, in a sense, as a public investment to create infrastructure to facilitate future growth in the county. Again, subsidizing, socializing this investment and this risk, and privatizing the gain for developers. But you see it differently.
Well, there are several different aspects of this, and one of the reasons why we all have such a hard time with this issue is that it's impossible to bring it down to two or three words or sentences, because it's hard to convey the whole meaning. But talking about public investment, one of the things that I applaud our service authority for is being very aggressive on developing the four-tier rate structure, which really is focused upon conservation. There is a minimum level of the first 1,500 gallons is provided at below wholesale price. So that means less cost than it costs the service authority to get the water and sell it to people. Because that is what is their dedication toward providing water for people who need it regardless of income. But every 1,500 gallons after that, the price doubles. And to me, it's brought the consumption down by, I think, about 25 or 30% in the last couple of years. And that's really serious focus. There's also a tremendous effort to take on the irrigation issue, and this is something that I hope more work will be done going forward. The same sort of toilet programs and rebates that are done in the city are done in the county, and many of these programs are actually done jointly with the city and the county. So I think we can agree that we're working very hard in the same direction on the conservation issue, and no one who has ever grown up with a well throws water around for any reason.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a spanking. You know, my childhood, it was a very serious issue to leave the water running or wash a car on the property. Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
If we had water used to water the animals, that was a little bit was possible. But nobody who is responsible for that $10,000 or $15,000 investment on their own, if things go badly, going to be wasting it.
We are honored to be talking with Ann Malik. She is chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors and a candidate for re-election. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Before we go to the phones, Ann, let me just ask you really quick. The city has made it very clear that they are moving forward, considering dredging the South Fork of the Ravanna to contribute to the needed water supply. The county, Ken Boyd, reiterated a point at a Ravanna Water and Sewer Authority meeting the other day, saying that is not the position of the county. What is your take now? Do you agree with that, that the county still refuses to consider dredging for water supply?
For water supply, I think there has been general agreement by council and the Board of Supervisors that we do not want to reopen the water supply permit for a major modification. And so that is the most recent thing that we talked about on January 18th, and everybody seemed to agree around the table that that was a very important feature that the community had invested 10 years in getting to that point, and no one wanted to throw the permit away and make drastic changes. That being agreed upon, I think we have to look at other avenues, and to me personally, the dredging has always been a great idea at the Race Ford end, to, if it can be worked out environmentally and with access, which are two very big problems questions we don't have answers to yet. But that to create a four bay there, or a siltation basin is what we used to call it, that would actually lengthen or preserve the capacity we have, and also provide for its slight increase up there. At the very least, that is something that we could do.
Yeah.
But it does not create enough capacity to offset, in the water supply criteria, offset major changes the other, the big bathtub.
So the short answer. So the short answer from Ann Malik is no. I don't want to see dredging for water supply.
Not as if it would require changing all the numbers and going back and changing the permit, the major modification or starting over. We do need to stay focused, and my citizens that call me have been very grateful that the County Board of Supervisors is focused on the least environmentally damaging, which was chosen in the permit by the regulators, and also the most cost effective. And everybody is really watching. We're watching our pennies very carefully, and we're still waiting for the next shoe to drop from Richmond as far as what they're going to do to us on any number of different budget items.
It's 5:21. We're talking with Ann Malik, chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Let's go to the phone. Dee Dee Smith is on the line. Dee Dee, you're on with Ann. Go right ahead.
Hi, Coy. Hi, Ann. How are you? I have, of course, a question about the water supply. You and I, Ann, both have been to a lot of meetings in January over this water supply.
Yes.
And what I find interesting is how the construction of the pipeline, and my question is about the new pipeline.
Yes.
And how that the schedule for the construction of that pipeline keeps being pushed back. You know, it was originally immediately, then it was 10 years, and now it's 20 years. And even at the joint council board meeting, we heard 30 to 50 years. So my question to you is, if you were told today that Vivanna no longer planned to build that pipeline, would you still support expansion of Ragged Mountain? And if not, how long is too long in the future to build that pipeline?
Well, I was one of those people who was very eager to put the pipeline in as soon as it was financially possible, because of its ability to maximize the capture of spring rainwater and be able to use it in the summertime. I mean, it's really the core of the whole program as it goes forward. And I have not heard any discussion, frankly, because I guess I'm out of this loop, on postponing its construction. It is in the second phase because of the way that the borrowing was structured to maximize use of reserves and that sort of thing, to keep the cost down, as opposed to borrowing for both sections at once.
Okay. Well, my question stands is, if you were told, if you learned that for whatever reason, if financial, environmental, whatever, they were no longer able to build that pipeline, and they can actually fill and use the expanded reservoir from the Mormons, would you still support it?
Well, there's so many hypotheticals in there. I'm not able to answer yes or no, because
okay.
I'll tell you one thing that concerns me, and Coy, remind me that I want to get back to the sort of provision for growth before we close up tonight.
Yeah.
But the Sugar Hollow Reservoir and the Mormons is a diminishing reservoir. I mean, the inflow has changed over the last 5 or 10 years. There is dramatically less water coming into that resource. So we need to be appreciative of that fact and not expect that that volume that we have been counting on is going to always be there, even in 5 or 10 or 15 years. Nobody seems to have come to any scientific agreement about what's going on, But there's a big variety between the North Fork and the South Fork of the Mormons. What the one that the gauge is on has much more water in it than the other one. So there seems to have been some weather shift or whatever that's causing a very extended drought in Sugar Hollow.
Right,
and
I think
never
the gauge
recovered
is no longer
after
there.
The drought was after the rest of us started getting a lot of heavy rains back in 04.
Right, but it will be the Mormons will be used to fill the expanded reservoir until such time as a pipeline is built. Is 20 years is pretty much what's being the minimum being talked about. Do you still support it even if it's not built for 20 years?
I still think it's the best option, and I do hope that we would find ways to get it to come along more quickly, because I really think it gives us the resiliency. There's so many other benefits to the plan as it's been developed. The redundant delivery to different parts of the city that don't exist today, and all those other agreed upon features that make up so much of the big ticket, the $140 million. About $105 million of it is something that the city and county both agree is the very best thing to do for our long-term supply. The issue about the growth, because Coy raised this before.
Yeah, hold on just a second. Hold on just one second.
Thank you so much.
Dee Dee, thank you so much for the call.
Bye-bye.
We're talking with Ann Malik, and we just got a couple of minutes left. Before we – let me just put a bow on that. You said that there's so many benefits to come from the original plan as visioned, and just to underscore that fact, that means the pipeline, which, you know, and we still don't know how much it's going to cost or where it would go.
And we certainly need to focus on that. Absolutely, we need to work on that.
So I want to give you the last word here about growth. Go right ahead.
Well, I want to make sure that people understand how much the county has been dedicated for 31 years to the preservation of the rural area, which protects the watershed, which feeds South Fork, the reservoir. I mean, it's really an effort of devotion for the community as a whole, that we've tried to protect this watershed and the water that was there. I remember as a child the arguments around the kitchen table back in the late 50s about why in the world would they put South Fork there? You know, the farms are all around it and the houses are all around it. Well, that choice was made by others, and this is what has been our consequence. But we need to do our very best to make it as healthy and as long-lived as possible. I think it's will be here in its current state for generations to come if we are careful and do a good job. But what happens is we have tried to provide extra resources, extra public services to the people who live in our growth area, that wonderful donut around the city of Charlottesville and also at Crozet. And if we're unable to provide water in a reliable way in that growth area, when people, my children, your children, move back here from living elsewhere for other places, and they want to have a place to live, if the water in the public system is not reliable, they are going to go out to the country and drop a well. And that is not helpful for our environment as a whole. It's not helpful for our Chesapeake Bay, all these things we're talking about, more septic tanks and other alternative ways to deal with on-site sewage. I mean, a whole raft of different issues become more problematic when we're not relying upon our centralized systems for water delivery and for sewage collection.
Ann Malik is chairman of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and thank you for your service to our community, and we'll look forward to having you on the program again soon.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Have a great day.
And again, a reminder, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors meets tomorrow night at the County Office Building.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.